This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. Have you been getting more calls from scammers lately? I certainly have, and lately they've been coming like clockwork at 6:30 in the morning. The most recent is a robocall telling me that there have been big unauthorized charges on my credit card and I have to press one and go through prompts to fix it. I never have, but I am assuming that is where they get your personal information. Of course, there is the old and very aggressive CRA scam, and also now a Service Canada scam where the claim is that allegations have been linked to your social insurance number and that you'll be arrested and imprisoned if you don't call back. Now, some of the callers using this scam may also claim to be from the RCMP or a local courthouse rather than Service Canada. And of course, these are just the phone scams, but there's also plenty of online phishing that can be very hard to distinguish from the real thing. Now, in the first 7 months of 2019 this year, the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center received over 20,000 reports of scams amounting to over $43 million in losses. And of course, millions of Canadians have their data breached through information given to major corporations like Air Canada, Bell Canada. So basically, it's impossible to know who has your personal information. So let's get a refresher on what the bad guys are up to and how we can protect ourselves. And I'd like to hear from you about what kind of scam calls you've been getting, whether you've noticed more of them lately, and just your take on it. The number 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And right now, let's go to Jeff Thompson, Senior RCMP Intelligence Analyst with the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon.
Okay, so are we right? There seems to be a lot more of these lately.
Well, I always say these scams come in waves. It's a game of numbers, so the more people they call and the more people they continue to call, the more likely they are to get a victim.
Okay, well, the CRA scam is pretty old, where you get a very aggressive call telling you that you owe money in taxes and you better pay up, and sometimes they actually send someone. This Service Canada SIN scam, is that newer?
It's been around for probably a year now, but yeah, it certainly is. We've seen a spike in the past couple months with the Service Canada / Department of Justice type scam. So there's a couple different names they use in this call, and it really is an evolution of the CRA scam, right? We've done a really good job of educating Canadians about the CRA scam, and people are more aware of it. So it's natural for fraudsters to change things up, right? So let's not say CRA anymore. Let's say Service Canada. Let's say there's fraud in your SIN number, and you need to do exactly what we're telling you instead of saying you owe back taxes. So it's just a little twist on the extortion scam.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we get to the phone calls, and I'm looking at a caller who's talking about the call display, but they can spoof the call display. So when you get a call like this, it can say that it's from the OPP, or it can say that it's from some courthouse.
That's right, yeah. So, and let's be clear here. They're not calling from the courthouse number. They're just making that phone number appear on your call display. So there is a way to manipulate what shows up on your call display. And you know, so what better way to say it's Service Canada and you have a Government of Canada number displayed on your call display and it says Government of Canada, so you're more likely to believe it, right? It's a way to authenticate that call in some ways, but you really can't trust it today. You can't trust that call display.
Yep, I think that's a key message that a lot of people don't understand. The call display is not worth that much. What are some of the other scams that are out there?
You know, there's lots of different phone scams. Another one we're seeing today is sort of this one ring scam where you're getting a call on your cell phone or your landline. And it's just it rings once and there's a hang up and you're seeing an international number on your call display again. The idea behind this is that you're going to call that phone number back to see who's calling, and subsequently you're going to get a lot of long distance charges. So again, beware that, you know, if you're going to call a number back on your call display and it's a long distance number going to the Congo or Russia or wherever it might be going, that you're subject to long distance charges in these cases, right?
Right, but so what do they get out of it?
Well, I mean, when you the long distance charges, everybody makes money on that. The phone carriers make money on that, right? So from your phone company, generally these calls transit a number of different phone carriers or different phone networks. So
you're saying that it's a phone company that's defrauding people to get charges?
I'm saying there's a potential that there's bad traffic being generated by a bad phone company somewhere in the world.
Okay, that's I've never heard of that. Wow. And what are some of the other ones that I may not have heard of?
You know, so with the telephones, again, sticking with the telephone scams, and I mean, let's be clear here, like the scammers aren't just calling people, they're using their internet, they're using social networking sites, text messaging, emails. They're going to use whatever means they can to try and reach out to potential victims. But sticking with the phones, the other one we're seeing a lot of right now is what we're calling the bank investigator scam. It's calls that Canadians get early in the morning claiming to be your bank or a credit card company, claiming that there's unauthorized charges on one of your accounts.
That's the one I've been getting at 6:30. You know, if it wasn't a robocall, I'd tell them, hey, you know what? There's no way they'd be calling at that hour.
Yeah. So, I mean, and they're catching you early in the morning, trying to catch you off guard, right? And there's different variations in these scams. You know, they might tell you they need your help catching the bad guy. They might tell you you need to transfer money to keep your money safe. At the end of the day, you know, no legitimate institution, no government agency is ever going to call you and threaten you into sending money, ask you for personal information, or ask you to move money out of your account to keep it safe.
Okay. And what else? I mean, some of these things to me seem fairly obvious. I mean, if they're asking, you know, the CRA wouldn't be asking to get paid in Bitcoin or in iTunes gift cards.
That's correct. Again, another really good indicator of scam is that these fraudsters are asking for payments in gift cards, iTunes, Google Play, Steam cards, or directing you to a Bitcoin ATM machine, right, to pay in Bitcoin. It's just something that's not, you know, no legitimate institution or government agency is going to ask for this.
Okay, Jeff, hang on. We're going to take a couple of calls. We've got Don in Toronto. Hi, Don.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Regarding the call display, if I don't know who the individual is, I just don't answer it. And if they leave a message and it's not something that I want to deal with, I just delete the message and delete the number.
Okay, but yeah, we were just saying that you can no longer trust the call display because the call display, they can spoof it. And call display on some of these scams, it says it's the police, it says it's Service Canada, it says it's a courthouse.
Well, In that case, I would go to the police department and call directly or the bank if it were an issue, and I would find out if it's legit, and again, I just delete it.
Okay. Thanks for that, Don.
Thank you.
Okay. John in Thornhill.
Yes, good morning. Well, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Another scam that we've come across lately is a mortgage refinance scam, in which it's a mortgage company that will call, and they sound very professional on the phone. They would like you to pay an upfront fee to work with, you know, your lender and get, you know, maybe a better deal on your mortgage. But the problem is, you know, they also want you to get prepaid cards. I think the gentleman said about Steam cards. I've heard of something about that. But the long and the short of it is, you're going to lose the money. But that's another one to watch out for, mortgage refinance scam calls.
Okay. Thanks for that, John. We'll be on the lookout.
Okay.
I would like to now bring in as well Yaniv Oren. He's the Vice President of Technology and Data here at Zoomer Media. And just by serendipity, because I was reading about all these extra phone scams, he started a series of seminars for all the employees here so that we can be on the lookout for scams. And most of those come in by email, right?
Yes, Libby. Thank you for having me today. Email is the most popular scam still these days, but they're all rising in their frequency.
And what are some of the scams? What do some of the emails say or purport?
Well, like the callers said up until this point, they're very diversified. Some of them are very similar. Some of them will ask you to buy iTunes cards because they're currently in a birthday party and they don't have access to their wallet or something like that. And they just want you to send them, go and buy the iTunes card.
And
just
is that code. Does that purport to be from someone that you know?
Yes, most of these actually come from emails that were hacked and had you in their contacts. So someone you might know may have their personal email account hacked, and then the hackers utilize that email in order to send you those phishing attempts.
Okay. Jeff Thompson, have you put numbers, or is more money lost through email scams than through phone scams? Or
Certainly. I mean, we're grouping the emails in with the internet category or cyber frauds, if you will. Certainly what we see today is there's more Canadian victims falling to online scams, email, internet social networking, than through the telephone. But interestingly enough, the telephone does remain the number one marketing method. The most reported scams, you know, that people report receiving a call, but more money is being lost to online scams.
Now, we know that older people, seniors, are most vulnerable to this. Why is that?
Well, there is a disproportionate number of seniors that are victims. Seniors tend to have more money to lose, so you see higher dollar losses with the seniors. But the trend we're seeing is increasingly that there's younger Canadians falling victims to scams, and in particular online scams. So if I use romance scams as an example, you know, where you have divorcees hopping online trying to reignite their love life, and you know, lo and behold, they run into a fraudster's profile on a dating website and carry on a relationship and lose a substantial amount of money. So again, we're seeing this younger wave of victims.
Yaniv, there are ways to recognize. I mean, you know, sometimes I've seen these emails where they have the logo pretty well right, but maybe not entirely right. How do you recognize if something is real or not real?
Well, first of all, consistency. If something comes to you from someone you potentially know, but it's a request they've never made before, then it's less likely to actually be from them. People don't really change overnight. You have some sort of relationship with someone. Normally, they're consistent in their behavior towards you. Asking for money out of the blue while they never asked before is a very big red light. When we talk about people you know, you always have the ability to also pick up the phone and ask them whether it's actually correct or not. Anything that tries to put a sense of urgency in you with respect to emails or even phone scams is a very, very big red light. Most government officials or most organizations as well will not try to impose a sense of urgency on you. So if there's a sense of urgency, stay back, think about it some more, and see whether it's actually valid or not.
What about, is there something about the address, the IP, the address that it's coming from that could help you discern?
Well, both yes and no. It really depends where the email is potentially coming from. If someone is trying to impersonate a financial institute,
yeah.
If you actually look at the link that it's trying to lead you towards, most likely that link will not be of that financial institute. It's going to be a completely different email address or a completely different web page address.
So you just kind of put your mouse over it?
Yeah, you hover without clicking with your mouse.
Do not click.
Yes, do not click, just hover. And you can see at the bottom left side of your monitor what is the address that you're going to be moved to should you press that link.
Okay. And Jeff Thompson, what about these phone calls? You know, we've seen all kinds of, you know, and sometimes they're on the internet of how people taking on these scammers on the phone. Is that a good idea?
It's not something we recommend. We have seen retaliation or retribution from the scammers in the form of, you know, increasing calls to your phone number or threats of physical violence. So I mean, it's not something we recommend. but teach their own, and just be aware. The best practice is just to hang up.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen also in people, you know, demanding to know, the scammer call says, do this. They say, okay, what's my name? And they don't know the name. So that's an interesting thing. Let's go to Marlene in Guelph. Hi, Marlene.
Oh, hi. Hi. I have a question about the call display. Very often I get, there are two numbers on my call display. The top one starts with V, as in Valentine, and then there's about 14 digits, and then below it is a number one, and then numbers that look like a North American phone call. So is this V thing at the top? I guess that's a red flag, is it?
Certainly, if you're having a number displayed on your call display that's not an actual phone number, it's certainly a very good indicator of a spoofed or fraudulent call, and one you should probably ignore or hang up on.
Oh, yeah, I do. Okay.
Okay, Marlene, thanks for that.
Thank you.
Now, I am reading that the CRTC, and that's the regulator of telecom and broadcasting, has ordered telecoms to come up with some kind of solution for this to reduce the number of nuisance calls. And they have apparently a deadline, December 19th, and there's some kind of universal blocking technology in the works. Can you tell us anything about that, Jeff?
I know the phone companies, CRTC, have been working closely to come up with some solutions to blocking unwanted calls. You know, we don't know a lot about it here at this point, but we're certainly looking forward and suspect there will be, we'll see somewhat of an impact on it. But, we're also going to have to see things improve as time goes on. We know the fraudsters are quick at adapting and applying new technologies to beat sort of our regulatory approaches and things we do to try and prevent this stuff. So we're going to have to remain vigilant and wait and see what happens with the new regulations.
I think part of the problem is that Yaniv, a lot of this comes from outside the country, so there's a limit in what we can do. We just heard about this call center in India being raided that targeted Canadians, but...
Yes, that's, I think, perhaps part of the norms in the industry. When you try to perpetrate cybercrime, you try to do it against a country that's not your own. That makes it much harder for law enforcement agencies to actually reach you. It doesn't mean that people from Canada don't perpetrate similar offenses. They just won't target Canadians. They might target someone in the third world. India is a very good start, but they talked about, I think, like, what, 30-something people arrested.
Yeah, that's not
in
very
one
much.
Call center. Yeah.
And $13,000. No, the numbers are generally a lot higher than that.
Yeah, it's a good start, but I think they need to be cracking down much harder on that and not really treat it as a slap on the hand type of offense.
Okay, let's hear from Robert in Mount Forest. Hi, Robert.
Good afternoon, Ms. Nimer.
Hi, I think you just sent me an email, right?
I did, yes. Couple of things very quickly, and I won't hold up any other callers on the phone. If I get a call, let's just say your window is compromised and we need access to your computer, one of the things that I usually simply say to the telemarketer is, can I ask you a personal question? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead. I said, is your mother proud of you? Oh, yes, sir. Very much so. Very proud of me. Does she know you're trying to access my computer and steal my money? And the next thing I hear is click. So that's the one issue. The second issue is the email that I sent you regarding blocking the telephone number. If you hang up and immediately press *60, follow the prompt by pressing #01#, that will block the telephone number.
I think that program probably depends on who your provider is. But yeah, if you've got call display, you also have call block, I guess.
That's right.
You have to do it individually.
My phone has adversely been silent since I started putting that in. So I just thought I'd share those two items with you.
Okay. Thank you for that, Robert. Jeff, would you say that's a good solution, like individually blocking each one?
Yeah, I mean, you can try doing that. We know there's various blocking softwares or apps available on cell phones. At this point, we recommend you reach out to your service provider, see what they recommend and what they have available for you.
Yaniv, in terms of the email, what do you do? Do you stick it in trash? Do you just delete it?
Well, again, it depends on your system itself. But the first recommendation would be to mark it as spam and then delete it. Now, if you have a smart enough system, the fact you marked it as spam will help you recognize future emails that are similar and automatically remove them from your inbox.
Uh-huh. How do you mark it as spam? It's
just... There is a button up there, in the depending on your application that you're using, that you can actually say that something is spam.
Okay, that's good advice. Let's get back to the phones. I know this is something that always really affects a lot of people. Let's go to Ziggy in Simcoe. Hi, Ziggy.
Hi. Yes, I have a new one that even surprised me. They called me up and said I had been chosen because I was such a good client to Bell Canada for a home security system worth $2,000 to be set up for me for nothing, and they could be there within an hour to do the setup, which I thought was rather interesting. How, what are they parked down the street or what? Now they knew my name, they knew my birth date, they knew my exact address. Then afterwards I thought about it and I thought, okay, I had thought of getting a home security system about 5 years ago. And I answered all those questions. Now, they were telling me that I was chosen by Bell Canada because I was such a good client. So I don't know what their deal is, how they're going to make money off of this outside of a monthly payment or just getting my credit card numbers or whatever. I don't know what their scam was, but of course I told them I wasn't interested. The police weren't interested. I called Bell Canada and they said they couldn't do anything either. So seniors, beware. They're telling people that because you're a senior and you've been such a good client of either Bell Canada's or Rogers, they're going to do this for nothing for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've never heard of anything like that. I know that a lot of alarm companies, the way they've always worked, is that they install for free and charge you a monthly fee.
Yes, but it's what they said that didn't jive.
That might just be a bad business practice. Ziggy, thanks for your call. I'm going to ask Jeff, just turn the radio up when we let you go, if he's heard of something like this. Jeff?
Not one I'm familiar with, but certainly, if it's not sitting with you, it's, go with your gut instinct on this. If you suspect it's, fraud or bad business practices, either way, not something to follow through on.
Okay. Bonnie in Mississauga, I'm afraid you're going to say something about one of our colleagues. You got a scam email from that purported to be from Robbie Lane, you said.
Yes, but he's a personal friend, so I didn't follow it up, and I just phoned him to see, why would you ask me to do you a favor? And then he tells me that there's some nonsense going on at that time, and this was just last month.
Yeah, he was hacked. We all got emails that didn't look right.
Okay.
And it's happened to a lot of my other friends. and I think Yaniv nailed it when he said, if the person, and if it looks like something out of character, it probably is.
Well, I'm just glad I didn't follow it up, but I just thought it was so strange to be getting something from a personal friend from him in Maryland and asking me to do a favor, which he wouldn't have to phone me or email me. That's what it's all about. But anyway,
okay.
I thought it was funny. Thank you very much.
Okay, perfect example, right?
Yep.
What other? So those emails, they say sometimes they say the person is stuck and or they've been robbed or they've lost their wallet. What are some of the other?
I think I've lost count. They're basically endless. There are so many different variations, whether, the classic ones of I want some money, I just need a bit of upfront money to pay taxes in order to get it out of the country or bring it to you. iTunes cards, yes, the do me a favor scheme that basically someone reaches out and tells you that he's somewhere and wants you to just buy some iTunes cards and give him the codes. Those are very popular.
Okay, we only have a few minutes left. Let me see what we've got here. We've got Anna in Oakville. Hi, Anna.
Oh, hi, Libby. Thank you for taking my call. First time caller.
Oh, wait. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I've been getting a lot of calls. I was talking to gentlemen. One is from Oshawa. It's a 905 number. And one day, I don't answer my calls, first of all. One day I thought, oh, this is it. So all I said was, who is this or what do you want? Nothing. Now, I've blocked it. My phone allows me to block up to 30 calls, but it rings every day. It rang 5 minutes while I was waiting for you to pick up the phone, but it rings once and everything else. But I'm also getting a lot from a Chinese person, both on the house phone, and they leave messages, and on the cell phone. It is unreal. I don't know who, because I don't understand Chinese, so I have no idea who these people are.
They're probably in China for number one.
I know, but there's so many. And like you said, there's 4 or 5 times a day. It's ridiculous. And one more thing. I did get an email from BMO and told me my account was frozen. I went, okay, that's nice. I don't have an account with BMO. So, but the logo looked legit. I mean, it looked like it was a Bank of Montreal logo. So
it can be very... Yeah. Very easy to fall for that. Yaniv is nodding his head. Yaniv?
It's very, very popular that people try to just fish and send millions of these messages to people, and someone will have a BMO account. So he's more likely to click it. And obviously, they'll use the correct logos, because without that, it doesn't look as credible.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Let's take one more. Dave in Pickering. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Thank you. I told your screener it was an email, but it was actually a text message on Saturday afternoon. And it just reads, you received a tax return of $1,734 from Canada Revenue. Then they have a link, deposit your return below and press the link. And
okay, that's a good one.
That's a different one. So Saturday afternoon, the government's trying to get some money.
Okay. You know, the government needs money. Dave, thanks for that.
Okay.
Okay, we're basically out of time. People, Free for All Friday is coming up, so please call back with the scams that we couldn't get to, because this is all a warning for everybody else, or at least we can commiserate about being bothered at home all the time. Now, 30 seconds, Jeff Thompson, what would you like to leave us with?
You know, spread the awareness, like you said, get people talking about the scams. Be sure you call your friends and family and make sure they're aware of the scams. The more people talk about it, the more we can spread the messaging and fraud prevention awareness. So be diligent, recognize, reject, report.
Okay, and Yaniv, what would you like to leave us with?
I would absolutely agree that these are the important things. The more people talk about it, the more people become aware of it. And just don't fall for the false sense of urgency that they're trying to prompt in you.
Okay. Thank you very much, both of you, for that very useful information. And again, people, if we couldn't get to you, please call back on Friday.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.